If we all stand in honor of the scriptures, Matthew chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. But when Herod the Great, or Edomite, was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph, who was the legal, not biological, father of Jesus in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child, that was Jesus Christ, and his mother, that was Mary, and go into the land of Israel. For they, that was the Edomite Jews, including King Herod, are dead, which sought the young child Jesus Christ's life. You may be seated. Who was Herod the Great? Herod was ethnically an Edomite, an Idumean Edomite, a descendant of Esau. About a century before his birth, his family was forced to convert to the God of Israel's laws when they were captured by the Israelites under the rule of John Hyrcanus. They did not faithfully keep these laws. They couldn't keep them. But in fact, they took control of the nation. The Edomites became the rulers over the kingdom of Judah. At the time of Christ, the house of Israel, 10 tribes, had been taken in captivity for over 7 centuries and were not living in the promised land. There were only Israelite Judeans and Edomite Judeans who were living in the land of Judea. Herod's father was a descendant of Esau and his mother was a descendant of Ishmael. King Herod the Great was a very real, very dangerous man. The region that he was king over was very unstable in the first century A.D. And the centuries before Jesus' birth, it had been ruled by the Greeks, then by the Ptolemies, then the Seleucid Empire, then the Maccabees, then essentially later the Romans. But the Ptolemies were kind rulers. The Seleucids were the exact opposite. When most emphasis of the Seleucian rulers, Antiochus IV Epiphanes, went to Jerusalem in 169 B.C., he plundered the sacred Temple Mount, sacrificed a pig on the temple altar, and took all the temple furniture and treasures away to Antioch. Following the Greek Seleucid rule, Palestine came under the control of the Timonian dynasty from 142 to 63 B.C., followed by the Roman Empire starting in 63 B.C. Judea was a hugely strategic military and economic position for the Romans. It also acted as a buffer zone against their eastern enemies. Herod was picked by the Romans to be king of Judea. Herod's unpredictably violent streak stemmed in part from his paranoia surrounding his place as king of this region. But despite that, he launched wonderful infrastructure projects, such as renovations of the temple, the Antonia Fortress, and the famous Masada Complex. Herod was very paranoid. He had a second wife, Merriman, and their two sons, Alexander and Antiochus, executed. He also had Merriman's brother, mother, and grandfather killed, just for good measure. Just 5 days before his death, he also had his son, Antipater, executed. It was this paranoia that, according to Matthew's gospel, led Herod to commit one of the most infamous crimes of recorded history, the massacre of the innocents because of the birth of the future king of the Israelite Judeans. King Herod had murdered the last of the remaining local Israelite priests in the decades before Christ arrived, and also did the same thing with the Israelite court judges of the Grand Sanhedrin in order to secure the grip over all Judea. When news of the recent royal birth reached Herod, he sent a SWAT team to Bethlehem to kill all the infants in an attempt to assassinate the child Jesus, who was declared to be the king of the Israelite Judeans. The Edomites had killed the Israelite priest. judges, and now they attempted to kill their future king. The Edomites, if they were successful, would have eliminated the entire government of the Israelites. What other reason would there be to explain why the Edomite king would desire to murder the infant future king of his enemy? And how did the wise men from the east know that this infant would be king? Were they related to the Israelite Judeans? Were this infant's parents of Judean royalty? They had to be for their child to be qualified to be king of the Israelite Judeans when he grew up. His legal parents, Joseph and Mary, were descended from the family of King David, from the tribe of Judah, of the nation of Israel. So yes, they were of the right lineage for royalty for their son to be king of the Israelite Judeans. His legal parents were not descended from Esau, that is the Edomites, but were descended from Jacob, his twin brother. The wise men from the east asked Herod, who was an Edomite, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Israelite Judeans?" Notice they didn't ask Herod, "Where is he that is born king of the Edomite Judeans?" The news troubled Herod and all Jerusalem. Why would the news bother the Israelite Judeans? It wouldn't. So Jerusalem was mostly Edomite Judeans, for it says that all Jerusalem was troubled. The king asked the chief priests and scribes where Christ should be born. And they answered, after searching through the ancient prophets, like the prophet Micah, that it was in Bethlehem of Judea. The king then instructed the wise men that when they found the young child who was to rule the Israelite Judeans, to let him know where he was, and he would come and worship him. The Edomite king lied to the wise men, as he wouldn't be worshiping him, but he would kill him as soon as he knew where the young child was located. He would kill the infant before he had a chance to be king. Yikes. Daniel had prophesied exactly when this special child would be born. Daniel predicted before his coming and his being cut off to be 483 years after the post-Babylon captivity commandment to restore Jerusalem. Jesus was born to rule and will do so forever after his second event, Daniel chapter 9. But this presents one of the most controversial questions in the entire Bible. Who were the legal parents of Jesus descended from? Esau or his twin brother Jacob? Both sides, Judeo-Christians and Jews today, is almost completely in agreement that the people known as the Jews are descended from Jacob Israel. The Jews, they indicate, are the covenant people of God. And the vast majority of the Judeo-Christians believe that they, the Christians, are descended from Gentiles, meaning what the Jew says it means, the non-Jewish people. But the Judeo-Christians have very few or any statements on who are the descendants of the Edomites or the Canaanites today. If the Jews are the descendants of Jacob Israel, then who are the 10 tribes of Israel descended from? For they are never in the Bible referred to as Jews. Why? Because the Edomites came into the kingdom of Judah many years after the house of Israel had been taken away in captivity and punishment by God and was divorced, and therefore cut off temporarily from the covenant. So when Jesus was born in the promised land, no one from the house of Israel was there. It was only the Israelite Judeans of the former kingdom of Judah, just 3 tribes, and Edomite Judeans who ruled over them, whose headquarters were in Jerusalem. There were only Israelite Judeans and Edomite Judeans. Which one, the reader is to decide from the context. He needs to pray the Holy Spirit gives him the correct interpretation. The Jews are not the descendants of Jacob. Number 1, there are very few Jews that are descended in any way from Jacob. There are Sephardic, Mizrah, Betra Israel, Hasidic, Becharan, Cochin, Ashkenazi, and others who make up the Jews. These groups also have different interpretation of Jewish law and practice, such as Orthodox, Conservative, Reform, Reconstructionist, and Secular Cultural. The Ashkenazi Jews are mainly descended from Japheth, not Shem, while most of the others are descended from Esau, who married the Canaanites, who married the descendants of Cain. The only Jews who are descended from Jacob are those who were children of adulteration with the Canaanites and the Edomites, who had the rest of their seed lose their designation of being God's chosen race. Many Israelites were killed because they violated God's law and who they were to be married to. That is, they were forbidden to marry the Canaanites, Deuteronomy 7:3, who lived among them. Number two, the Jews have their own different holy books. These books are the Talmud, the Torah, the Midrash, the Kabbalah, mystical texts addressing the nature of their God, such as the Zohar. If the Jews have these quote-unquote holy books, then who has the Bible, which has both the Old and New Testaments? If the Jews are God's chosen people, why would Christians, the so-called non-Jews, be the protectors of these important books and not the Jews? Number three, the difference between what Jews believe and Christians believe. The Jews believe that Jesus failed to fulfill the messianic prophecies that established the criteria for the coming of the Messiah. The Jews failed to accept Jesus as a divine being, an intermediary between man and God, a Messiah or holy being. They deny all the New Testament covenant writings, even though they say it was written by Jews about Jews. They consider the New Testament as being a false library of 27 books. Number four, the Talmud says that Jesus was born a bastard, a mixed seed between an Israelite and a foreigner, a Roman soldier, was blasphemous, led Israel in many fallacies, was crucified by the Romans, and is now in hell, boiling in a pot of increments. Number five, for centuries until the Napoleon War, early 1800s, the Jews in Europe lived in ghettos and were denied citizenship and religious freedom. After the French Revolution, Napoleon advanced the legal emancipation of Jews in France and occupied territories like Italy and Germany. He abolished the requirement to wear identifying badges and opened residential areas previously restricted to them. Number six, who were these people who were accused of the murder of Jesus and were over 100 times exiled from the Christian territory in which they were living? Most of Christendom now ignores the Bible and says that the Romans murdered Jesus and not the Jews. Number seven, isn't usury against God's law? Why was it that the Christian nations of Europe forbade usury for centuries? Then why are the Jews the ones that own almost all the major financial institutions who charge usury? It was the Christians who sinned because they needed the money, so they made the Jews, non-Israelites, the money user lenders and borrowed from them. If it were true that Christians and Jews are equal in the eyes of God, why are the Jews in charge of being the usury lenders? Who are the descendants of Esau today? Who are the descendants of Esau in today's world? Are they still in existence? Have they been assimilated? Did they just fade away into non-existence? The Edomites were the majority in the Promised Land at the time of Jesus' birth. Most of the true Israelites of the kingdom of Judah, that would be Benjamin, Levi, and a few of the Judahites, had moved to the north country of Galilee. Samaria was where the foreigners had replaced Israelites who were now in captivity and or immigrating to the West and to Europe. Galilee was the safe hold and was where Jesus went to live, as he was not free from danger to live in the Edomite stronghold of Jerusalem and Judea, John 7:1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. That's about 80 miles north of Jerusalem. For he, Jesus, would not walk in Jewry, the land of the Edomite Jews, because the Jews, not the Romans, but the Edomite Judeans, sought to kill him, Jesus. In my opinion, Rabbi Sabbatai Zevi and the majority of Jews believe that Sabbatai was the Jewish Messiah who returned on June 18, 1666, and the fifth monarchist, Radical Puritans, believed that Jesus returned in an unknown time after January 30, 1649, but in the year 1666. Both were wrong. We are now 360 years later. The year 1666 was the beginning of a movement that is now called Christian Zionism. One of the fifth monarchists, John Rogers, entered the public fray with his own view of a godly republic. Based on his interpretation of the prophetic text of Daniel and Revelation, Rogers believed the regicide marked the end of the monarchical government and that God delegated power to the saints with the thousand-year reign of Christ fast approaching. Well, the email. I received an email from one of our church members, Gary, who emailed me a tape put out by Charles Jennings, which was a rebuttal of a tape made by a prominent rabbi who was criticizing Tucker Carlson and his stance against Israel. I thought that Charles did an excellent job rebutting the rabbi's blatant lies. I did some investigating myself about this rabbi and discovered some more important points that the rabbi was giving. I thought what he was saying was the defining issue of the day in religious circles. Who is the true Israel? The rabbi, Jonathan Kahn, is really a spokesman for a foreign nation, Israel. He was advocating on his tape that the Jews are all of Israel, and he wanted to justify the United States supporting both financially and militarily the Jews. He does this by arguing that Christianity and Jewry are uniting together while the demon forces are trying to put a wedge between them. What? Jonathan said that those who do not believe that the Jews are Israel are catering to the concept that Hitler had. Why do they always point to Hitler? For Rabbi Kahn failed to mention one of the main leaders of the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther. Luther gave more warnings and told his people not to do what the Jews wanted them to do, like charging usury, for instance. It is because if they charged Luther with making this statement, it would open some more eyes to the fact that the Jews are imposters. And Jonathan then said that this belief could lead to a persecution of the Jews. For any person who believes this is anti the state of Israel, which is anti-Semitism. In other words, if you say anything against the nation of the Jews, you are the enemy of the Jewish people. You are anti-Semitic. Does anyone know when this term was first coined and popularized? It's not in your Bible. It wasn't until 1879 when it was made popular by German journalist and agitator Wilhelm Marr. Marr sought a scientific-sounding term to replace the traditional German word, which meant Jew hatred. By using the word anti-Semitism, he intended to shift the focus from religious-based prejudice to a race-based secular ideology. Wilhelm was a leftist, but not a Jew. But Wilhelm married three Jewish women out of four wives. Barr's failed marriages to Jewish women, particularly his personal experiences with them, were a major factor in his development of virulent anti-Semitic views. But Marr used the wrong term, anti-Semitism. For being anti-Semitic is against all the descendants of Shem, one of Noah's three sons. Now, a brief history lesson. Shem had five sons. The first one, Elam. His descendants became the nation of Persia, which is Iran. Assyria, descendants became the nation of Assyria. Arphaxad, his descendants became the nation of the Arabs, Israelites, and Jews. 4, Lud, his descendants became Lydians in Asia Minor. And Aram, descendants became the nations of Syria and Mesopotamia. That's the sons of Shem. The other two sons of Noah, Japheth and Ham, had 7 and 4 sons respectively. Together, they made up the 70 nations of Genesis chapter 10, which is not all the nations of the world. So if a person says anything negative about the Jews and is anti-Semitic, would he also be anti-Elam, anti-Persia, anti-Asher, anti-Assyria, or anti-Arab nations, and so forth? In fact, if you are anti-Semitic, you are anti all the many descendants of Shem, which includes many of the predominant white nations, as well as the mixed seed nations. Jesus Christ was of Shem, a Shemite, was of Eber, a Hebrew, was of Jacob, an Israelite, was of the tribe of Judah, was of the family of King David, but he wasn't an Edomite Jew. The descendants of Abraham are like the stars in the sky. The Jews are a small percentage of the peoples who are living on the earth, less than 1% of all the Semites in the world. So if they're accusing someone of being anti-Semitic, they are saying that they are against most of the people of the Middle East and the people that migrated from there. Does being anti-Semitic mean being against the Arabs, the Israelites, the Persians, the Syrians, Saudi Arabians, Turks, Moabites, Ammonites, Romans, Greeks, Babylonians, etc., as well as the Jews? Look at the chart. That's Noah. He had three sons, Shem, Japheth, and Ham. Now here's the Shemites. 5 sons, Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. Aram had these sons. It doesn't give the sons of Elam and Asher up here, but this follows Arphaxad. There's Eber, and there's all his children. There we get the Haram. There's Abraham, Haram. Look at all these people. So all these people here are from Shem. Jacob, Laban. There's Esau's. There's Jacob's. Jews, Israelites. Ishmael's way up here. Right there's Ishmael. Arabs. Then go to the next one. Abraham's chart. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 12 sons. There's the Jews, Arabs. Next one. Japheth, Shem, Ham. That's where they are. Now they're nowhere in Southern Africa. They're nowhere in South America, North America, Europe. This is where they were. China, they're nowhere over there. The Edomites, Esau, who married Canaanite daughters and a daughter of Ishmael, and those of his twin brother Jacob, Israel, represent very few of the Abrahamic family. And this was a rabbi who was saying that anti-Semitic means anti-Jews. This famous rabbi's name is Jonathan Kahn. Was he born of parents from the line of Jacob? Or was he born from the line of the Edomites? Or was he born from the line of the Ashkenazis? Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. Who is Rabbi Jonathan Cahn? He claims his heritage is descended from the priestly tribe of Levi, of the house of Aaron, the brother of Moses. His ancestry is rooted in this priestly lineage, with the name Cahn being a variation of Cohen, which means priest. Cahn's father was a Holocaust refugee, another one. And his mother's family escaped persecution under Russian czars. They no doubt are Ashkenazi Jews. But I wonder if the concentration camps were extermination camps, as they tell us, why all the vast number of refugees like his father? Anyway, we go on. Here's something very interesting. Jonathan married a Brazilian girl who spoke only Portuguese, while he was a New Yorker who spoke English. She was similar to Sabbatai Zevi's third wife, who prophesied that she would be married to the Jewish Messiah. Sabbatai, who was miles away in Egypt when he heard this news, was convinced that he would marry her. Well, Renetta, the girl from Brazil, had similar words spoken to her that she would marry the Jewish rabbi, also Jewish Christian pastor, from New Jersey when she was in the faraway nation of Brazil. She spoke only Portuguese, and she traveled to New Jersey to hear him preach. I ask, one wonders how she understood what he was saying. And they met afterwards. They needed a translator for them to know what they were saying to each other, for who would know Portuguese in New Jersey synagogue church? But they married after 5 years of courting, and they had a computer to translate what they were saying until they were able to understand each other's language. And there's a picture of he and his wife. He is an American Messianic rabbi and a Christian, in quotes, pastor. Now that is a combination, a Jewish rabbi and a Jewish Christian pastor. Does he believe Jesus is now in hell, or does he believe that Jesus is seated on the right hand of God? Jonathan is also an author and a novelist known for his debut novel, The Harbinger. He also has authored the following books: The Return of the Gods, The Paradigm, The Mystery of the Shemitah, The Avatar, The Harbinger II, The Josiah Manifesto, The Dragon's Prophecy, and The Oracle. Besides leading the Hope of the World ministry, he also leads the Jerusalem Center Beth Israel, a worship center made up of Jews and Gentiles, that means non-Jewish people to them, people of all backgrounds just out of New York City and Wayne, New Jersey. The building of this synagogue / church is constructed to make you feel as if you are entering Jerusalem. The walls are reproductions of the walls of Jerusalem. The back of the stage is from the Western Wall, built by King Herod. And the sanctuary is surrounded by the gates of the Holy City. One of the gates was contributed by Erica Kirk's uncle. Anyway, it's symbolic of the restoration of the faith to its original content and riches, as the first church and first believers began in the city of Jerusalem. From Jerusalem Center, Beth Israel, began Hope of the World, and there is their email address. The ministry of outreach that sends the word of God around the world and minister to the world's most needy. Every year, the ministry sponsors a multitude of compassion projects, from building water wells, ministering to orphans, refugees, the persecuted, the sick, and the hungry throughout the nations. And here's a picture of where he preaches from. You can see the walls of Jerusalem back here. He has been highlighted in the New York Times, as well as in many national and international media. He was named, along with Billy Graham and Keith Green, as one of the top 40 spiritual leaders of the last 40 years to have radically impacted the world in Charisma magazine. And I got a copy of the magazine. I don't know all these people here, but there is Jonathan right there. He is the Jew. That is Billy Graham. That's T.D. Jakes. Anybody know who that is?
Heidi Baker? She's in that case.
Who's this one? And she's one of the top 40 of the last 40 years. Does anyone know who the publishers of Charisma magazine are? It's the Fellowship of Christians and Jews. The 40 people that the magazine claimed radically changed our world included, besides the Jew, Jonathan Kahn, Billy Graham, Rick Warren, Samuel Rodriguez, Pat Robertson, I think that one guy was Pat Robertson, A.R. Bernard, Joyce Meyer, Catherine Coleman, Bill Bright. Now, I will say this. He, like most of the rest of the ministers, they had a ghostwriter. I know this because my cousin was the ghostwriter for Mr. Bright. He wrote his books. Billy Bright's now dead, but he wrote his books. Miles Monroe, Francisca Pickett, Dennis Bennett, Andrea Crouch, T.D. Jakes, Jamie Buckingham, Jack Hayford, and Marilyn Hickney. I guess they forgot about Charles Jennings and Pastor Ramsey. Many of these preachers are now either dead or their ministries have collapsed. Kahn is a much sought-after speaker and has been called the prophetic voice of our generation. Prophetic voice of our generation. He has spoken at the United Nations, on Capitol Hill, and to millions of people around the world. He also has videos and podcasts on different topics on different social media. One series that he did was on topics that he disagreed with Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens. We will investigate what Jonathan said on these tapes. Jonathan Kahn versus Candace Owens. One of Jonathan's podcasts against Candace Owens perked my attention, and I listened very closely to what he said. He began with the following statement. So he begins, "What on earth happened to Candace Owens? She is now raging against Israel, against Judaism, against the Jewish people. She's now accusing Israel of being a, quote, cult nation. What does the dragon have to do with all this?" Now, there's a picture of Jonathan and Candace Owens. Well, I have to say, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn has accused Candace of being against the Jewish people and is therefore being influenced by the dragon, which is represented in the book of Revelation. He then continues, "Candace Owens came on the scene as a conservative commentator, a celebrity on Fox News, then the Daily Wire. But she has of late increasingly turned her back on everything. I'm not speaking about her motives or her intentions, but what's coming out of her mouth. She has increasingly turned to the dark side. I think that's what what's that movie?
Star Wars.
Star Wars is part to turn the dark side. Coming out as an enemy of Israel, an enemy of Judaism, an enemy of the Jewish people, yet all the while claiming to be a Christian. My statement here is Jonathan states that she is an enemy of Israel, the Jewish people, while she is Roman Catholic. He equates Israel with being the Jews. That is the whole point of the argument. He fails to mention that the house of Israel had been scattered from the promised land for 7 centuries, and the ones living in Judea at the time of Christ were Israelite Judeans and Edomite Judeans. Jonathan goes on and says the following. The Bible explains it. Now, he's a Jew. He's telling us what the Bible says. If there's a dark entity that exists to destroy the Jewish people, you see, Israel exists to fulfill the purposes of God. So that means there's going to be a war because the enemy or the devil exists to destroy and stop the purposes of God. So he's going to war against the children of Israel to do everything he can to slander them, defame them, speak their destruction. He'll use every mouthpiece, any vessel he can. So the dark entity attempts to destroy the Jewish people who hates his son. Well, that's quite an accusation. Jonathan has said that Candace is an enemy of the Jews. And she is the mouthpiece of the devil who is going to war against the children of Israel. The biggest enemy of early Christendom was who? It was the Edomite Judeans. It wasn't the mulattoes, black mulattoes, descendants of Esau, rulers over the kingdom of Judah, and Candace is not one of their descendants. We believe that Jonathan's theology is upside down. He is saying the exact opposite of what the truth is. For the dark entity is the offspring of the viper being Satan. It is the Jewish people who are making war against the covenant people of God. As Herod tried to change the ruler of the Israelite Judeans, so the modern day Edomite Jews are doing the same thing. They have, with the help of the military of our greatest nation, America, changed the realm of rulership of many countries like Libya, Iraq, Syria, Mexico, and now Iran. But Jonathan continues on his tape and says, you, referring to Candace, put on your show people who hate Israel. Hate the Jews. You continually play with anti-Semitism. You empower and tease the Jews continuously. And you spew hatred towards Israel. And by implication, Jewish people in America. Don't be shocked when people call you a Nazi. Candace was voted by the United States-based advocacy group Stop Anti-Semitism as Anti-Semite of the Year in 2024. The reason the Jewish organization said they were giving her this honor or dishonor was for defending Hitler's action in Germany and mocking Jewish fears over Kanye West's anti-Semite tweets, declaring Israel forces Muslims into segregated quarters, insinuating Hollywood is run by sinister Jewish gangs. All very true. Jonathan continues. This is a good one. And those who support Israel, like Ted Cruz, United States Senator, and others, Mike Huckabee, ambassador to Israel, you, Candace, attacked venomously. I bet Jonathan would like to erase this statement from his tape. Both these men, Cruz and Huckabee, embarrassed themselves and their belief in supporting the Jews in recent interviews with Tucker Carlson. One is United States Senator and the other Ambassador to Israel, who was a former Baptist preacher and governor of Arkansas. Both of these pro-Zionist men made themselves out to be fools in their interviews. Ted Cruz made a big blunder when he said in his interview with Carson that his Sunday school teacher, it wasn't in church service, but Sunday school, told him that verses in Genesis teach that, quote, "Whosoever blesses Israel will be blessed, and whoever curses Israel will be cursed," unquote. He said that he wanted to be on the blessed side. Tucker then asked him a follow-up question. I, referring to Tucker, am a Christian too, and I would like to know where that verse is. Ted answered that he didn't know where it was, but he would go home after the interview and email it to him. They both agreed the verse was in Genesis. I would bet that Ted failed to send Tucker the verse. The verse that Ted was referring to was Genesis 12:3, and is not referring to Israel or the Jews at all, as there was no Israel and there was no Jews in existence when the Lord spoke these words to the 75-year-old Abram. That's Genesis 12:4. When this verse was spoken by God, Abram was childless. He later became the father to the Arabs and grandfather to the Israelites and Jews. Genesis 12:3 says, "And I, the Lord God, will bless them that bless thee," that's not the Jews, that's Abram, "and curse him that curses thee," that's Abram, "and in thee," Abram, "shall all families of the earth be blessed." This was all the proof that Ted Cruz offered to Tucker that he supports the Jews. This was spoken to Abram before he even arrived to the promised land. He was in Syria, and obviously is not saying anything about blessing or cursing the Jews, as there was none on the earth when this was said. Since his entire reason for being a supporter of the Jews is gone, did this change his attitude toward the Antichrist? No, Ted is still an avid supporter of the Jews. He keeps on supporting God's enemies. And I got a little map here. This is where Abram was when God called him. He went up here to Syria. After his father died, he finally went over here. That's a long way to go. This is where the promise was. Genesis 12:3 was right here. Abraham was living in the ancient city of Ur of the Chaldees when God called him to travel to another land. Intimidating that if he obeyed this call, he and many others would be greatly blessed. So that's 800 miles from here to here. That's about a 1,600-mile trip. He left his family. Who lived over here? Canaanites. But when did this belief of Christian Zionism begin? Christian Zionism, the belief that the return of Jewish people to the Holy Land is a biblical necessity, originated in 17th century Britain with Puritan interpretations of prophecy. Emerging from Protestantism, early proponents in England and Holland in the 1650s focused on biblical promises of a restored Israel as a precursor to the end times. What happened back then? King Charles I had his head chopped off on January 30th, 1649, and England became a republic with no king. The fifth monarchists were of the belief that with the end of the monarchy in England was the conclusion of the fourth monarchy according to the Book of Daniel. They were waiting for the fifth monarchy, which they considered to be the return of Jesus and his kingdom, to begin. As a result of this belief, they became against the English Parliament, then Oliver Cromwell, then his son Richard, who took control of the British Isles. They were also against the restoration of the throne back to the Stuart family, with James II 6 years before the Messiah was to return. Jesus never returned. But this ideology grew out of the Puritan Fifth Monarchs movement and the Jewish Sabbatai movement to later become the formalized Christian Zionism that we have today. Jonathan continued as he asked Candace another question on his tape. Get this one. Christ is the Jewish rabbi who is the savior of the Jewish people and all people. Since he is 100% Jewish, how do you, Candace, think he will judge you? Jonathan is trying to put the guilt trip on Candace and all the anti-Semitic Christians. The implication is, if the Jews are evil and Jesus is also Jewish, are you implying that Jesus is evil too? So at the end time judgment, God, who is Jewish, who is an Israeli, who is Talmudic, who is a Zionist, believes that he is now in hell, boiling in a pot of ignorance. What? Christ is not the Jewish rabbi. He is not the savior of the Jewish people. He is 0% Jewish. For Jonathan made no comment as to what Candace said about Ben Shapiro, a Talmudic Jew, who fired her from the Daily Wire. Quote, "You," referring to Ben, "are obnoxious. You have absolutely no values that exist outside of the Talmud. You describe yourself as a Talmudic Jew. And I've learned what is in, I have learned what is in the Talmud." This is Candace talking. "I have learned what your holy book says. And I have encouraged other people at home to learn what is in the Talmud that you know. I do the same thing. Read the Talmud." She then held up a book, The Talmudic Jew, expanded edition by August Rowling. Now turn, there it is right there. The Talmudic Jew, edition by August Rowling. You can go and buy the book for, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 bucks. I don't know where it is. If every Christian would read a book like the one Candace held up, she held it up, "I want everyone at home to read this book," they would learn that Jews are an imposter race. Ted Cruz, read the book. I dare you to. They are the tares and not the wheat. Somebody's got to be the tares. Somebody's got to be the wheat. Martin Luther discovered their evilness, so did Elizabeth Dilling and a host of other Christians after reading parts of the Talmud. Candace continued, "He, Ben Shapiro, doesn't just hate me, Candace Owens. He hates you," her audience who is non-Jewish too. "He hates you, white men. He, Ben Shapiro, hates all black people. And he, Ben Shapiro, follows all the rules of the Talmud. They," the Jews, "think that we, everyone who is not a Jew, are animals. And they," the Jews, "have the right to own us," everyone who's not a Jew. Oh, that's slavery, isn't it? They, Jews, have a right to make us, everyone who is not a Jew, worship them. They want us to worship the Jews. They, the Jews, have the right to lie. What? I added by saying the Kol Nidre prayer to us, everyone who's not a Jew. They can lie to us. Oh, Congress kept saying, they're liars. Of course, they're Jews. And take everything that we, everyone who's not a Jew, have. They can take everything we have. They, the Jews, have a right to deceive us, everyone who's not a Jew. Where'd she get that from? The Talmud. I want everyone to read the Talmud. It'll tell you what they do. Jonathan was silent on what Candace said in these statements that she made about Ben Shapiro on her show. He said nothing about the Jews' holy books, the Talmud, the Torah, the Kabbalah, the Zohar, etc., and what they teach. My conclusion. The Jews believe that the bond between true Christians and the Jewish people is foundational, spiritual, and deeply rooted in shared history and scripture. It is based on the recognition that, number one, Christianity emerged from Judaism. Number two, shares the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And number three, shares a commitment to the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. Jonathan says that God is a Zionist. God is Jewish. On the day of judgment, everyone will be judged by a Jewish God. What? Now, he spoke in the Capitol Hill, United Nations, gone all over the world. One of the top 40 people that changed Christianity. Number one, the Jews say that Christianity emerged from Judaism. Christians believe that Jesus Christ was the second Adam who saved his covenant people and will rule over them once again in the kingdom of God. To say that Christianity emerged from Judaism means that at one time they both had the same beliefs. They never, ever believed the same. Their doctrines are opposites. They are different people with a different heritage and with a different destiny. They confuse the preaching to the misnaming of the Jews and Gentiles when it should be Israelite Judeans of the house of Judah and the Israelite Judeans of the house of Israel. Number two, the Jews say the true Christians, the Jewish people, share the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What about his son, Jesus Christ? The Bible says that you aren't a believer in God if you deny the Son. Jews don't believe that Jesus was divine. What about the Holy Spirit? They don't believe that he was divine either. They believe that Jesus Christ is now in hell, and that is the destiny of all his followers, which is us. All Christians are going to hell. That's what they believe. Number three. The Jews say the true Christians and the Jewish people share a commitment to the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. What about the New Testament or the New Covenant scriptures? The Jews don't believe them. The people in the Old Testament are the same people that are in the New Testament, God's covenant people, and their genetic enemy, the Edomites of the New Testament, today known as the Jews. Who are the true Israelites of today? Was Jesus a Jewish rabbi? Were his first followers Jewish? That's just like the book the pastor gave me at our wedding. That's what the book said. Did Christianity emerge out of Judaism? Is Jonathan Kahn descended from Levi? Or is he descended from Esau, Jacob's twin brother? Or is he descended from the Ashkenazi Jews? Tucker Carlson had a controversial interview with the United States ambassador to Israel in an airport in Israel a couple weeks ago. The interview showed a very strange strange thing. Mike Huckabee, the ambassador to Israel, represented what Israel says and not what the people who he's supposed to represent says. What the interview showed us, if you criticize Israel in your own country, your own government will work to censor you. Your government is supposed to exist for you, not for a foreign government. Anyway, here is the climax, the high point of the interview. Huckabee speaks. So, if I believe in the Old and New Testaments, there is a very specific call to the Jewish people. It started with Abraham. He called them out of modern-day Iraq, and he said, come where I send you. He came to this land. In Genesis 12:3, former Baptist preacher says, I will bless those who bless you, Abram. I put Abram. And curse those who curse you, Abram. Genesis 17, he looks over the world and says, this is where I'm giving you the land, and you is Abram. He didn't say Abram, he says you. Tucker said, Genesis 15, it's Genesis 15, 18, says that God gave the land to Abram and his seed from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Genesis 15, 18, I looked it up. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy, Abram's seed, have I given this land, the river Egypt, to the great river, the river Euphrates. Now, Abram's seed's a lot more than the Jews or Israel. You, referring to Huckabee, say that Genesis 15 says that God gave the land almost the entire Middle East, from the Nile to the Euphrates, to the Jews, which includes the nations of Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, parts of Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and so forth. Here is what he said, Huckabee. Huckabee replied, to the horror of all the Arab nations in the Middle East. It would be fine if they, referring to the Jews, took it all, and the Arab nations went berserk. 2 weeks later, there was war in Iran. The United States of America, or Israel, was fighting against Israel's enemy, Semites, not ours. We are fighting for our enemy, the Antichrist nation. May our God forgive our people for not reading and studying what their Bible says. To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.